Welcome to PR Squeeze, a podcast brought to you from the Newhouse School at Syracuse University and our Public Relations Department. My name is Tony D'Angelo. I'm a professor of practice and chair of the PR department. And I love this forum because we get to learn from leaders in the industry. I'm particularly happy to welcome Jim Weiss, class of 87.
Tony.
From the Newhouse School, founder and chairman of Real Chemistry. Obviously a marquee name in our industry.
Oh, I have a new title.
What is that?
I'm professor in residence.
Yeah, tell us
about
that.
At Syracuse University. Yeah, Newhouse. Well, you know, I have been talking to the dean about how we continue to take the Weiss Center program to that next level.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, can we be doing more curriculum? And Beth Egan, who's been running it with me for a while, I think it would give us an opportunity with that affiliation to also extend the reach, you know, because I'm out doing my own podcast, as you know, and I'm out talking to clients all the time and recruiting kids. So I think all of it put together made a lot of sense. And now that I'm also supporting athletics and figuring out how the athletics plus Newhouse combo, which of course is somewhat inextricably linked.
Yes.
You know, there was a power to having that title. So, and I won't really start with true curriculum until the spring of 27.
Okay.
But as you know, Weiss Center has a lot of curricula going on anyway. We had a program last night on NIL and branding in the NIL era. But that's the kind of programming and teaching I want to do. Very practical, very real world.
Fantastic. Let me, for the sake of those who may not be familiar with the agency here, which we're sitting in.
Yep,
this
we
is
are.
The agency from the Weiss Center. Tell us why you founded this place. What was your idea?
Well, I feel like I founded it with Lorraine Branham and Maria Russell and Gary Graetz and a lot of our, and you and a lot of our colleagues. You know, we all thought we've got to bring, you know, the practicalities of the agency world into the classroom a little bit more. And, you know, Newhouse has always done that great. You know, you always brought in, I had it when I was here. You know, we bring in outside professionals. They really help, you know, tell the story, but also bring the kids down to our environment. And I know you guys do that like no other school, and that's been amazing. But I think the other big part and impetus was the industry's changed very fast. There's a data component, which I've incorporated here, a data and a technology component that's really important, and an entrepreneurial one. And I guess the real bottom line was, since everything's much more integrated and omni-channel today, we've got to have a place where kids can come and talk about their campaigns and their all the things that they're doing as sort of one discipline. So it definitely married PR and advertising and television, radio, and film a little bit more, which was the goal. We're right in the heart of Newhouse. You know, kids are passing by it.
Yep.
I never had a physical space for 10 years, you know, 12, we've been doing it almost 15 actually. But having the physical space does something different, and it kind of puts a stake in the ground for us, and I'm sure for you.
Yeah.
You know, the PR major is so important, and it's very central to the story, I think. It's an organizing principle. As I know Richard Edelman has often said, it's the center of the marketing mix. I've always believed that too.
Yeah.
And I just think it adds a certain legitimacy to what we've done and where we want to go. So it's a long-winded way of saying, you know, how do we bring kids together and bring all the disciplines together, because obviously we're in silos otherwise, you know, and this is designed to do that, much like I developed my own firm as a much more integrated agency that, you know, helps clients in a number of areas.
It's about convergence, right?
Right. Yes, no doubt about it. I mean, integration's probably not exactly the right word. I like that word of convergence. It's like today, there's two big things. You've got to target your audience specifically, and influencers and creators have much bigger say in how the communications rolls. So it's not just traditional earned media or paid media. and programmatic, and now with AI, you know, where is that going? How do we bring all those things together for the to help brands, companies, causes, all the things that we support in the real world? How do we do that? And can we also get the kids to go to work sooner, which they are? And there's lots of projects to work on, both for Syracuse University as well as clients.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the event last night, about NIL. Talk about a game changer.
It really is a game changer. I unfortunately, Syracuse was a little bit probably late to the party in terms of really getting what was necessary and required. I think there was a, you know, look, I'm close with the chancellor. Understanding that a strong football, basketball, all the sports programs, the stronger those are, that just helps the patina of the school.
Yeah.
But he did such a great job of, I think, turning this place into a next level, you know, learning, higher learning place. Look, I always felt Newhouse was the Harvard of communications. Now Harvard doesn't really, you know, you can't say Harvard. Not the same way as we used to, but it had like an Ivy League, you know, type of
brand.
It's hard to get into and a strong brand, and it still does. And I'm, you know, a big champion for it. So, you know, I believe I got a great education, but it was so well-rounded. You know, the culture of Syracuse is so, you have sports, you have arts, you've got, you know, it celebrates all the things. You know, there's fraternities and sororities, but if you don't do it, it's not the end of the world. And there's so many different things that are here, and it's not too big, but it's not too small.
Yeah.
And its reach and influence are very broad and big. So I really think NIL, in the era of NIL, our students that come here to become athletes have to figure out how to do NIL. And what we were finding last night is a lot of these folks are self-taught, but we're not teaching it. We're not formalizing it. We could, and I think we should through the agency. I think we can do it. And now there's a creator economy center too. So I think we'll collaborate to help the kids maximize that, because there's a lot of rules and regs around it all. Of course, they didn't know any of that. No one teaches them that.
Right.
You know, the whole system has changed.
Yeah.
And I also think we need to help our athletic, you know, directors and department communicate with that worldview in mind, right? So that wasn't, I think, how they were doing it. And I think now they realize they need to compete.
Yeah.
And some of the other schools have been more aggressive and more vocal, more public, and that, of course, helps them recruit.
Yeah.
And we need to do more of that.
Yeah.
So that was a, of course, I had Jim Boeheim on the panel, and you've heard his radio show, and you know he believes we need to do more. So
that's where
it went.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
well,
was
last
cool.
night, and you had some student athletes there last night talking about personal branding.
Yes.
And that they need to learn that, too.
Mm-hmm. And they can teach it, because these three incredible women, all of whom I think are seniors, maybe one was a junior, but one on the volleyball team, one on the soccer team, one from basketball, incredibly well-spoken about how they got where they got. And, you know, they've done brand deals and, you know, really sophisticated stuff by now. But they all started, you know, a little clunky. And what I heard from the woman who was from the soccer team was they help each other. You know, they'll shoot their own stuff and help post, and, you know, they have each other's back. So culturally, I think, you know, NIL's misunderstood. It's the wrong word, because there's the portal and the system of recruiting, and then there's NIL, which is how the kids leverage it. But I think understanding all of that is a really important thing, and the schools that get it and the students that come, I mean, they're high school kids coming in here. Now, some of them are older from other countries, and but then they don't speak the language. So we have to help, you know, it's a hard thing to bring them in and make it happen, but we need the system to adapt.
Yeah.
But I think Newhouse can help a lot in this story. So that's why having Falk and Newhouse together doing this. And look, what's the other big sports is, you know, next to AI and tech, it's got to be one of the biggest businesses out there, right?
Sure.
There's sports gambling and betting, and then there's, you know, all the different teams and all the merchandising. I mean, it's just, you know, massive.
Yeah.
And
really
changing
is.
Every day. So I think, again, Syracuse is really well positioned in that story.
Well, I appreciate you having that forum last night because we need to be thinking in that direction.
Yeah.
The game has changed.
Totally changed.
We ain't going back.
Nope.
You mentioned AI, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit because one of the things that strikes me, there are all kinds of contrasts. So AI, obviously, and you're applying it in your business in all kinds of ways, strategic ways. It's obviously a force multiplier. It can also lead to people becoming disconnected if they're focused only on the algorithms, right? It's interesting that you founded a place that we're sitting in right now that's focused on personal interaction.
Great, so I'm glad you made that point because you asked me about it. You know, I talk about the, you know, I've said this many times, tech data are critical, but they only depend on who uses and leverages them.
Right.
So I think if it was easy, they wouldn't need us, right? And I don't think it's that easy. I mean, to leverage and figure out what data sets and how to query them takes that ingenuity, which the machines will never have.
Right.
They might have some interpretive capabilities down the road, and maybe the real brainiacs out there are laughing that, oh, he doesn't know what's coming. But I guess my view is that you still need the practitioners and the experts who know how to tell a story and put it together and what the elements are to feed that machine.
Yeah.
Now, it may mean that you can produce more, but people can only consume so much, right? I mean, the bottom line is this will only go as far as humanity will let it. And I think people, I think it's just one of those things that's just been overhyped and overdone. You know, on Main Street, they still have to go do their job, make their money, you know, go shopping, get their kids through school. That is not AI.
Yeah.
You know, a mom taking a kid to school is not AI, right? Or dad taking a kid to school, I should say, too. So the point being, it's just, I think it's one of these things where, in perspective, it's powerful new technology that will help us do some incredible things.
Yeah.
Of course, in my field, healthcare and biotech, we hope to see it, you know, speed cures and diagnosis and disease. As you know, my wife died of small bowel cancer last year. She was class of 89 here. And we want and need better treatments for cancer, among many other diseases, rare diseases. I think all that might become more possible faster with these tools, but guess what? You can't do it without the scientists and the people who understand what it's supposed to turn into.
Humans in the loop, right?
Right.
One of the things, and we've talked about this as a faculty here at Newhouse, and you may have been involved in some of these conversations, that we want to equip students when they go in and interview with your agency, they should be able
real chemistry.
Yes, real chemistry. We want them to be able to answer this question from an interviewer. What value will you personally bring to our use of AI tools? What's the value add from you, as opposed to just pushing buttons?
Well, you know, and I think Syracuse gets it, and your curriculum and, you know, what you're doing, you know, and the acceptance of what I've brought, because that's a lot of what the program was designed to do, was originally use of data and technology to make communications more targeted, focused, efficient, all those things. I think kids coming out of Newhouse do get it. And the other thing is, you know, when they're home in the summer and they're doing things, you know, they're on their phone, you know, this is all native to the kids coming up.
Sure.
In a way that it's not native for maybe you and me.
Absolutely.
And so they are already well and have been well schooled over the years about how to use these tools to the max. You know, my kid can do things on my phone that I didn't know existed. So we've had it through the Apple iPhone. We've had it through Google. It's next level. But it has been there.
Yeah.
And machine learning is really the word, and, you know, quantum computing, and that's what we're really looking at. What are the big issues to tackle? We need data, huge data centers, and we have to power those data centers efficiently. There's a lot of implications coming. Guess what has to be done to make that palatable is great storytelling.
Right.
And whether you like them or you don't, you know, the commander in chief right now is one of the master communicators of all time, right? And branding expert, right? And he does, I don't even know if he knows that, but he was doing that in the 80s, you know,
right.
and that has never stopped.
Yeah.
And I think it's a sign to people, you know, you gotta keep working your personal brand. And, you know, that is something that I think only people can do.
Right.
And what really, I mean, are machines that interesting? I mean, I don't think so. I think we want to be interacting. And that was the goal here, was let's get in person.
Right.
We got to leverage data and technology, but we also have to interact among each other to make it the best it can be. And the highest integrity.
Yeah. Not incidentally.
Right.
Right. I saw an episode a while back from your Get Real podcast with Charlie Melcher.
Oh, yeah.
About
storytelling, yeah.
The future of storytelling. Yeah, yeah. And that ties directly into that, right?
Totally. I mean, he has a cool book, and, you know, he talks about there's so many ways to tell a story, right? You know, you don't have to tell a story through a press release or even a book or a podcast. You can do it through an interactive, you know, exhibit. A museum.
Yep.
There's lots of different ways to communicate ideas and stories, and so I think that was the point that, you know, we're living in a world where a lot is virtual. Of course, you know, you're going to have the glasses and the virtual reality and a lot of that. But, you know, again, every year, what do they say? Like, okay, all the holding companies are going to go away, and we'll never have, you know, advertising is dead, and creative is dead, and the movies are dead, and they're done, and then suddenly a good movie comes out, like, you know, I guess the Super Mario Brothers in this weekend.
Hail Mary.
But Hail Mary, and people went and loved it and saw the vision, and we're back, you know, right? You know, you know there are movies, like, that touch us, and I just, again, I know AI is a big haunt for that industry, too, but we all can agree, like, the television's never been better, right?
Absolutely.
You know, the series, and they're not series, they're really, like, you know, downloadable, like, you know, crazy shows that, you know, we thought The Sopranos and Sex
right.
and the City, and that was
Mad
it,
Men.
And, you know, Mad Men and all that, but so much more has resulted.
Right.
And it's really incredible to see. And I guess I'm the internal optimist in all these things, but Newhouse is at the center of every bit of what I just said, right? I mean, we produce the kids and the people that move so many of these businesses. And I think we will continue to, which is why I think the agency is going to be, we're just getting started.
Yeah. I appreciate your optimism. I'm asked a lot, like, do you think AI, is it a job destroyer? Is it going to take out a layer of jobs in the industry? And I have students who are worried about that. Is it going to replace especially entry-level jobs? What's your view?
Well, I'm not, you know, I guess I've always, I'm kind of a worrier. I mean, worrying is a bit of a waste of time when you really think about it. It doesn't really get you where you need to go. I think a little healthy worry is good. Right, a little anxiety. But I think what I've heard some friends of mine say, and, you know, are you going to organize or agonize? And so you want to organize to get and address a world where AI is endemic. And so I think that's all. The curriculum has to move that way. Kids have to teach themselves how to use all the tools and the coding. And, you know, and they are. You know, see, I think they really are. I think... Yes, some jobs are going to go away, but more jobs will get created.
Right.
I mean, at least that's my view. It doesn't mean that I'm right 100% of the time. I'll tell you this. My son, who graduated a couple years ago from Montana State, is now an electrician's apprentice, with the goal of becoming a full electrician, and he's doing great, learning a skill. He loves it.
Wow.
And so I think there are plenty of places to pivot. If, you know, it's, you know, we don't all have to be knowledge workers, right? You know, we, you know, so if the concern there is about, and we not, you need knowledge to be a good plumber or an electrician or any of that. But if we want to continue to build houses and we want to farm land and we want to, you know, create great sports teams and all the rest and stadiums and this stuff, it, like, we need builders and we need people who do that stuff.
Right.
Machines aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, yeah, we'll have some robots. I know that.
Sure.
But I just don't think you're going to see a team of robots out there, you know, underneath your house, you know, fixing wires. Right? So I guess we'll see, you know, where a lot of this goes. But I think there's a lot of practical things. And we think in our little narrow knowledge worker world, when there's a much bigger world out there and lots of problems to solve.
Right.
So many.
Yeah.
And communications is absolutely required and necessary for all of them to succeed. You cannot lead without communications. You cannot accomplish without it. You can't move people and convince them to do things without communication. So it is quite central.
Wow. Well, on that note of optimism, thank you, Jim, for spending the time coming back to your alma mater.
I never left, you know, that's the problem. It's like the thing that wouldn't leave. But,
well, that's been good for the university, our faculty and our students.
Yeah, so. I've enjoyed it. You guys have been great to work with. And, you know, I've gotten incredible kids out of here, hundreds, you know, have populated the real chemistry, whatever we were called before. And now they're out, they're clients, they're everything.
Right.
So it's really cool
to
see the ecosystem this creates.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. And thank you for joining us. We hope you found this engagement has been worth the squeeze.